Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, it's blocked by James. LeBron James with a rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Almighty Baller Network. My name's Carter Rodriguez. I'm a staff writer and editor at Fear the Sword. Justin Rowan is not with us today. Sounds like he died, but he didn't. In his place, we have Nate Jacobson, a co-worker of mine at 120 Sports. Not sure if you guys have ever seen me tweeting about losing bets, about winning bets, about making stupid bets. Nate is the reason for all of this, as he has led me down a very dark path, but he's one of the smartest gamblers I know. How you doing, Nate?
Well, thank you, Carter, for that great introduction. I'm really fired up for this NBA Finals that are finally starting tomorrow, as we're taping on this Wednesday. Just really excited to, you know, finally the games to begin and to talk about this kind of from a different angle. We're not talking this about the previews or the matchups. We're talking about this from a betting angle, and hopefully people can learn something. And even if you don't listen to this before the series, that you can come back and listen throughout the series and take something from it and use it to your advantage.
I think that we can position you as the Haralabob Vulgaris of Cavs Twitter.
Sounds good to me.
So I think we should start right in on the series price. The Cavs are plus 200. For any gambling, there's my phone going off because I'm a real pro. For any gambling newbies, plus 200 means that you bet 200, or if you bet 100 on this, you'll win 200.
Right.
Warriors are minus 240, which means a bet of 240 wins you 100. Do you think that's a fair line thus far? You did say that it had done some moving.
Yeah, so on Thursday when the Cavs were wrapping up their blowout against the Celtics in Game 5, you saw some stuff trickling in on Twitter. A series price around Warriors minus 260 and Cavs plus 220 at some Las Vegas sports books. And I think because people see the Cavs getting over 2-1 odds, LeBron James is an underdog, people are going to gravitate to that right away. So I think it's just a lot of just people who see a juicy price on the Cavs. I don't have to bet a lot to win a lot, and you have LeBron, you're the best player in the world right now, on your side. But I think what might end up happening tomorrow on Thursday before the game, some of the sharper professional money who think the Warriors should maybe be minus 300, they see some value on minus 240, and they're going to grab that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's minus 250, maybe minus 255 by tip-off. For the Game 1 spread, the Warriors are a 7-point favorite, and the total, I think, is right in around 226. I saw 226.5 earlier, so very slight change with a really high total. I mean, for NBA Finals, that's pretty high, but that's kind of the trend we've seen in the NBA this year. It hasn't been a surprise, especially at games involving the Warriors, where we've seen a 230 when they play a team like the Rockets or maybe the Thunder. Maybe even a too high 230. So the league, there's a lot more scoring this year. The totals, I think, in general are just higher, even in the playoffs. So it's a line. Let's just say it's a fair line. This line has been out for six days.
It feels like any line that's been out this long is going to be like pretty well dissected.
Yeah.
And other than like a late move, like you were mentioning, like from the sharps in Vegas, maybe putting some late money on the series, it does feel like the lines are going to be seven.
Yeah, I think
it's just going to stay right around
Golden State in seven. Where we'll talk about later on is when the line might change based on certain results of the series. But yeah, you're not getting much value on Warriors minus seven or Cavs plus seven because this line has been out. It's kind of like in the NFL playoffs or a NFL big game where there's a game everyone's focused on, or even a big college football game. So for 5 days, that's out. So all the value, if there was any, is kind of dissected out. And by game time, you're not going to get a good number. So then there's other ways to approach it. You could look at props. You could focus on in-game betting, halftime betting, and finding some value there. But before the game, I would suggest, just because it's the big game and it's a game we've been anticipating, doesn't mean you have to bet it right away. There will be many other opportunities throughout this series.
So I wanted to move on to the finals MVP odds from here. Durant is plus 200. LeBron's plus 210. And all these odds are via sportsbook.ag. Some of the lines Nate's going to use later are going to be from a couple conglomeration sites, but for the most part, we're going to be using Sportsbook for all of our props and most of our game and series lines. So Durant's plus 200, the favorite. LeBron is plus 210. Curry's plus 225. I guess my question is, if you think the Cavs are going to win this series, shouldn't you just bet LeBron to win finals MVP instead of the series price at plus 200?
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. If the Cavs win this NBA Finals, it's going to be because of LeBron. I mean, I know Kyrie's a great supporting player, and Kevin Love is there. He's had a really nice playoffs. But let's be straight. If it's the Cavs are winning, it's because of LeBron. And if for some reason he gets hurt or injured or something, they're not winning the series.
And so, and I guess like that extra juice is just built in there, that like extra 10, which is, I mean, pretty minuscule. I mean, is that just in case he goes Nova in a loss?
Yeah, or Kyrie goes crazy or something weird happens. But it's almost like going back to the NFL with the Super Bowl. Usually, if you like maybe a team to win the Super Bowl, instead of just betting that team to win, you'll take
Tom Brady
to win the Super Bowl MVP, because if the Patriots were going to win, it was going to be because of Tom Brady, obviously. Well, we don't have to go into that game, but it's a lot of things. There's a lot of different factors, but a lot of times the quarterback will be the reason a team is going to win the Super Bowl, and there's just kind of a bias.
And every time the Cavs win a
win
a finals, it's even 10 years from now when LeBron has retired, he will be the reason they win a title.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I thought we'd kind of talk about kind of how you like to bet series in general, your general overall strategy, because. You know, this, especially in a series that gets this much attention, we're going to have a lot of movement, a lot of, you know, teams taking these big wins potentially. So in terms of, you know, I mean, we always talk about zigzag theory, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So the zigzag theory is a popular thing that's been going on, talked about for years throughout the betting markets, and they'll adjust it. Basically say the Warriors win game one, you might be looking in game two to the Cavs because they're coming off a loss. They don't need to win, but they're more motivated to win. They have a little extra game planning.
They have more film to break down, more stuff to dissect. It's harder to I've heard the expression was it's easier to do an autopsy than a celebration.
Yeah.
Like definitely. In terms of analyzing yourself.
For sure. So maybe the Warriors got some luck. They're making more threes. The Cavs are missing threes. Then you come back and take the Cavs plus, and maybe you're going to get even a little better number. Say the Warriors look great in game one, blow them out.
I think the look ahead line for game two I saw was minus -7.
Yeah, I think it was still minus -7 for that. So, there was a sports book, I think an offshore book, that posted all lines for all seven of the games, potential look-ahead lines. Obviously, 2 through 7 can change throughout, but you might be able to get a Cavs plus +8. And in basketball, with the way how fouling works and stuff, I think 7 is a pretty important number, and when maybe teams will stop fouling. So that is the difference between 7 and 8 is pretty key in NBA basketball. So kind of looking to bet against a team coming off a loss. It's funny because I was looking, and I don't know, the zigzag theory hasn't really worked this year, but that might just because the playoffs haven't been super competitive this year, just kind of the way the league is. But I do remember in 2015, the Cavs lost in overtime. Kyrie got hurt, so you got the injured player built into that line in favor of the Warriors, but the Cavs came out and had a pretty heroic effort through Dellavedova that game. So that's kind of where the zigzag theory worked. Last year, I thought the zigzag theory was in a great spot after the Warriors won game one handily, and there was another factor in that game. One of the best road referees in the NBA who favors road team, Scott Foster, was
road
on the call.
Road team Foster, and groomsman in Tim Donaghy's wedding. Best man, I think.
Best man in Tim Donaghy's wedding. So
isn't that the craziest thing?
I almost was thinking after the Cavs won, or lost game one, that they were going to have to, you know, the NBA is going to be like, well, we need the Cavs to win game two to make it a series. So let's get Scott Foster. And sure enough, the next day they announced Scott Foster on the game. It turned out not to matter, but I think when you work with those kind of trends and the Warriors, they're a little different just because of how.
And this, I guess depending on how competitive you personally think the series is going to be should affect your thoughts on this exact theory.
Like, definitely.
If going into game one, you know, one team just happens to be hotter from three and they win, that shouldn't necessarily, and then that line moves, that's an opportunity for value for you.
Yeah, the one playoff series, I guess, the Raptors-Bucks earlier in the playoffs, I think that was a kind of a good zigzag because the Bucks won game one. So they were the road underdog and they won. And then the Raptors came back. They won. I'm not sure if they covered, though. So, but I think the zigzag happened in 3 and 4 when the Bucks dominated in Milwaukee
in game three.
And then you got some line value on the game four line, and then you took the Raptors, they won going away. They were underdogs, and they won straight up. So it's a popular theory, and I think because it's well known, the better the bookmakers know about it. So it's not like something you have to like. If no matter who
wins game one, you have to look for value.
Yeah, you can't just bet. I don't think you should bet it blindly, especially in this series with two elite teams who will probably hit their stride. Although, do you think they've hit their
I don't know if the Warriors really have yet.
That's the problem.
Which is weird because they're super dominant.
Even though the Warriors are 12-0, I think they would be maybe favored. Maybe that minus 275 would have stayed there. Just that they were challenged a little more in the playoffs. And I don't think the difference between Kerr and Mike Brown means a lot. But I think the fact that the Warriors just weren't really challenged in the West Finals. They weren't really challenged by Utah, who came off that grueling 7-game series.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting because, I mean, you look at the fact that, I mean, there's going to be a lot of factors at play here. I mean, Mike Brown, I think he's going to be a bit more of a factor than you do, especially later in the series. He's not a coach that has done a great job at making adjustments in the past. So if Lou finds something, I'm not as confident that, you know, Brown's going to say, oh, here's how we fix it. That's just not his skill set. And I know Steve Kerr's around, but, you know, limited, and you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen either. So, I mean, they're going to have to rely on their staff for a lot of those adjustments to come up with stuff because I don't think that's Brown's strength. I think he's a smart tactician heading in, but the on-the-fly changes aren't his strength. I think that the fact that Durant and Curry are playing like 33 minutes a game,
yeah,
right in the playoffs. I mean, are they going to be able to leap up to 42 without any fatigue?
That's a great point, especially that they just had a 10-day layoff. And I think with the Warriors, if there's any team equipped to deal with that layoff, it would be them, just because they're used to this. So are the Cavs. Yeah. But at the same time,
you can get yourself gassed real quick.
Maybe like, Brown should have been playing him in the fourth quarter of some of those blowouts against Utah and San Antonio. So they were challenged more, and now the level of intensity is going to pick up, and the opponents.
And they might not be ready for it. You know, yeah. I wonder, if you're looking at like betting over unders, I wonder if, especially later in the series, and I mean, this is your policy anyway, if unders later in the series, especially on the Warriors end, because these guys might lose their legs. I mean, Durant's traditionally lost his legs in the playoffs. You think he was shooting 33% from three going into the playoffs this year in his postseason career because he has to work so much harder on defense traditionally. So, I don't know. I think betting unders late in the series and maybe even in second halves might be a smart strategy.
Yeah, definitely, especially in the playoffs and in this series in particular, where you're going to get the highest intensity, which means you're going to get the best effort on defense. You're going to get a lot more half-court sets, less transition because teams probably won't be as aggressive. And because of that half-court sets, you're going to be teams are going to be taking shots later in the shot clock, which less possessions.
And traditionally, the Cavs have done a really good job choking the pace down against the Warriors. Like, the Warriors can run on just about anyone, but I think because of the fact that LeBron is so meticulous, he doesn't really like to run that much. And the fact that they have Tristan Thompson to grab offensive rebounds, and he doesn't go right back up with them. He kicks it back out, and they use another 24. Right.
Which is huge, and if you have the under on under ticket, then that really puts a smile on your face when a team has the ball for 40 seconds and before a possession ends. So I'll say this: traditionally, you look for the over early in the series. Later in the series, especially if it's a situation like Game Five where it's 2-2, and Game Six and Seven, you're looking at the unders. But the market is going to adjust, so you're going to see a 226 now. I wouldn't be surprised if it was under 220 by Game 5. And then game 7, a potential Game 7, it might be high to 218, 217. But every sharp person in the world who follows the NBA is going to look for the under. And I think the perfect example was the Game 7 last year where the final was 93-89. And that second half, just it was a point spread at a premium, and especially in the last moments and last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter.
I was watching Game 7 for the 400th time pretty recently, and when it hit 89-89, and it was like 5.5 minutes left, I was like, holy shit, the Warriors don't score again the rest of the game.
So that may have been an extreme example, but that just shows kind of the mentality of the teams in those situations.
Well, they're going to have no legs left.
Yeah.
Refs are going to be mortified about ruining the series. Like, that is like the classic, like, swallow your whistle moment where the refs are, you know, they're not calling an off-ball jamming the screen where Steph tries to go curl and then they grab him by the hip and pull back. They're just not calling that.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it makes sense. And those just become, I think to some extent, if this series is going long, it's going to be a real war of attrition where like the Cavs are just trying to like physically tire out the Warriors. I mean, even look at their strategy last year where they just had whoever Steph was guarding screening for LeBron over and over and over again. So he was picking on him basically. And like, that takes a lot out of your legs. Like, the Warriors have more offensive firepower, but I mean, I just don't see this being one of those series that like where their scoring just stays super high. I just don't see it. I did want to move on. So you've kind of spotted a really important trend, and it's something that there's no guarantee that it's going to happen. But if the Cavs do happen to fall down 0-2 in this series, we can absolutely find some value on this trend that you've been watching.
Yeah, I think if there was a Game 3 in the series where the Cavs are down 0-2, it would be very, really, really, really fascinating to watch where the line goes. But not just the full game line, the first quarter line and the first half line. And we talked about the zigzag theory earlier kind of being a popular theory throughout the years. It's been well known. But the something that's really come up this year, and I know people have been tweeting about it a lot, so it's no secret anymore, which is unfortunate. But in the first two rounds of the playoffs, home teams down 0-2 in Game 3 were 8-0 against the spread in the first half. And I'll just run down some of these lines and first half lines. Round 1, Pacers, they closed as a 1.5-point underdog, but it was a pick 'em in the first half. Pacers jump out to a 25-point lead, so they covered the first half handily before somehow collapsing. And I think that game, the Pacers were like an open 4.5-point dog, 3.5. So there was money before the game coming in on the Pacers, and
they looked like
the right side until the third quarter happened.
But I mean, if you bet that first half, you're great,
right? So yeah, that's another thing. If you don't want to wait 48 minutes, and a lot of things can crazy can happen, you can kind of key in on those derivatives and look at the first half where all you need is 24 minutes of effort from a certain team.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the times over the full 48, just like it happened in that Cavs-Pacers game, the better team just eventually asserts its will. They calm down. The road team or the home team loses that adrenaline that came from playing in front of their home fans.
Yeah.
That dies down. But that first half, I mean, 8-0 is not an insignificant trend, especially when you consider how uneven these playoffs have been. I mean, you mentioned that the zigzag theory hasn't played well. And a lot of that's because teams are just getting the shit kicked. Whereas they're still 8-0, these inferior teams across the board, they're 8-0 in the first half.
Yeah, so I guess we can call this the zig-zag theory because it's two zigs and then a zag in game three. Some other series, the Grizzlies coming back home down 0-2 against the Spurs. They were 3.5-point dogs before the game. But for the first half, they were only plus one, and they end up winning both the full game and the first half. And then this is where the lines start getting interesting. Oklahoma City against Houston in Game 3 were a 2.5-point favorite for the full game. But I think by then they saw the trends with the Pacers and Grizzlies, and they made Oklahoma City a 2.5-point favorite for the first half. And a lot of the times in basketball, whether it's NBA or college, say there's a 6-point favorite, they'll just be a they'll cut it in half and make them 3-point favorite for the first half. But they were adjusting it based on knowing that.
So they saw this money starting to come in.
They saw the trend. They saw the people. Hey, instead of betting full game, let's just bet first half. And I think a lot of that has to do with just sports betting becoming more mainstream. Instead of just betting full games and over unders, there's other ways, creative ways to make bets and find better value. And people are starting to realize that. I think the next day it was Hawks Wizards. The Hawks closed as a 2.5-point favorite, but for the first half they were -3. So this is where
jumped the gun almost.
Let's really adjust. And then later that night, the Trailblazers, after losing the first two games in Golden State, they're back home, great home crowd. You know you're going to get a fired up team that was going to be really motivated. This was their perfect spot. Well, they were +5 for the full game, but for the first half, they were only +1. They ended up covering the first half before, as we talked about with the Cavs and Pacers game, the better team asserted themselves and
over the full game
hot streaks. So that was round one. So round one, not only the first half went 5-0, but the first quarter went 5-0. So if you bet, you would have been 10-0 if you just bet the home team in game three. First quarter and then first half. The other series that was 2-0 was Celtics Bulls, but because the Bulls were the home team in game three, we're not paying attention. Although the Celtics did cover the first half then. Round two, Wizards, after losing two games in Boston, they come back home. They're 5.5 for the game as a favorite. But for the first half, they were 4.5. So this is really where the adjustment starts happening and you see it. And then game three in Toronto of Raptors-Cavaliers with Lowry injury. So the closing line was Raptors +3.5. But actually the Raptors for the first half were a 1-point favorite. And they ended up covering that, winning the first half. And then the last game, Jazz.
Warriors.
The Jazz were +7. And this line moved a lot. I think at one point you could have got Warriors first half at -1, so Jazz is a 1-point underdog. But I think by then people were just like, okay, this trend is like overcorrected himself too much. Of course the Warriors are going to cover in the first half. Wrong. The Jazz somehow win by 1, but it doesn't matter at the end because the Warriors win and cover that game.
But then finally in Game 3, Golden State breaks.
Right. So Golden State broke that in the Western Conference Finals against San Antonio. But I think looking back at it, we can say, well, no Kawhi Leonard. They did win the first quarter by 4 points, but then Golden State jumped out.
Covering that first quarter even just tells you how powerful the trend is.
Right. So back to how it could help you out in this series. Say the Warriors win the first two games, you're going to look to back the Cavs. And I'm just kind of fascinated to see what that full game spread will be compared to the first half.
So this is another thing where you're not betting it blindly. You need to make sure to see how much the market overcorrects.
Yeah.
But do you think that just because, I mean, and this is pure conjecture, but like there are going to be a lot more Joe Publix betting this series. Do you think that that kind of stuff won't be as prevalent in the line setting?
I think depending on how the first two games go, it depends. It depends how the Warriors look in the first two games because I think people bet based on what they see. So if they see the Warriors playing well, they might be a little shy from betting the Cavs. We saw that last year when the Warriors looked amazing in the first two games, and there's probably a lot of people just thinking, maybe the Warriors are going to sweep them, and then the Cavs end up coming – with a really, you know, motivated team, a motivated crowd, and they ended up winning by 30 points. So I think you just, you don't want to overreact too much to one game in these finals, because it is, especially with the 2 days off, pretty much every game, other than I think between game three and four, it's almost like it's a different, it's just a different mindset each game.
A solo experience. Don't let the others infect your mind too much. That makes sense.
So I so right now in the look ahead line, I think the Cavs were a 2-point favorite at home in game three and also in game four. I wouldn't be surprised that first half line is like -3, -3.5, something really where they're gonna
test you.
They're not gonna want to get beat on the first half line because they've gotten absolutely destroyed. Not just on the first half line, but I think all playoffs, it's probably been a rough time for the sports book just because
the favorites are winning. Right? Like the more the favorites win, the better sports books typically
definitely
do.
Especially when the favorites are popular teams.
Or the worst. Like the worst, I'm sorry. The worst they do.
The popular teams like the Warriors and Cavs. So
that makes sense.
That's been the trend all playoffs. It's been talked about. Unfortunately, though, like an efficient betting market corrects itself. So it has been corrected. But even then, an 8-0 trend in the first two rounds with something like that is super strong. And I think that the Cavs are going to, if that situation happened, that it'd be a great time to back them. So look for the Cavs in game three, first half, first quarter. And we'll see where the full game line ends up with that. But just something to look forward to for something down the road where you can take something in the middle of the series.
All right, let's move into so we've done our actually intelligent, thoughtful breakdown. Let's go prop hunting a little bit for some ridiculous stuff. And the first prop I want to look at is where will the series finish? Finishing in Cleveland is +160. Finishing in Oakland is -185. So a pretty heavy favorite to finish in Oakland. And is it fair for me to say I don't get that?
Well, I think a lot of that. So if you look at, you can bet how the series is going to finish. So, for example, the favorite for that is Warriors in five. So I think because, you know, game five would be in Oakland. That's a favorite. And then I think the favorite for like when the series is going to end, like what game it's going to end, is game seven, which would also happen in Oakland.
See, to me, I just think that game six makes a lot of sense because I think a lot of people think that if Cleveland's going to win, they're going to win on their home court. And then alternatively, I think it's very possible that Golden State wins this series in six games. I just don't think home court. I think home court matters, but I think both of these teams are really, really comfortable winning on each other's home court at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they did it last year and
I think two years ago.
So
like the Cavs won twice in Golden State. Golden State won once in Cleveland. It just feels like it's more doable than most series. So I think that should be a little closer going the other way. But
yeah, I mean, if you have that strong belief, then I don't blame you for liking that especially at +160. But I could see why. The series ending in Oakland is a favorite just because Warriors in five is a pretty substantial favorite. Kind of the nice thing about the looking at these lines is it kind of tells you where the betting market has things. So based on the betting market, I mean, they like the Warriors a lot, and it's kind of depending on what the bettors are going to say to determine
sense.
It. But
So let's move over to first to score. And this is my favorite prop.
Yeah, I know that last year you hit something.
Yeah,
in love, right?
Yeah, last year, friend of the pod, Jake Clark, put I think like $100 down on Kevin Love being first to score based on blindly based on my advice. And Kevin Love was the first to score in game one of last year's finals. He's +700. We call that free money in this country because the Cavaliers are like super derivative with how they do this. And the first look they get of every game goes to Kevin Love. Now, okay. So if we're going to really nerd out, Tristan Thompson only wins about 33% of his jump balls this year. And Zaza's not a ton better at 45, but he's definitely better than Tristan. So there's a real chance the Warriors get the first look, which is why Durant and Curry, I think, make a ton of sense as the favorites at +500 apiece. But Irving and James should not be +600 ahead of Kevin Love. Love has gotten the first attempt in probably like 50-60% of Cavs games. Like, they make it their point because they know that they're going to go away from him later. They know that that's kind of their tendency. They know that he doesn't get a ton of looks in this offense. So if you're looking for value, this is actually, I mean, sure, it's kind of a crapshoot because, hell, he might just miss. I mean, you have a 50% chance or worse that it doesn't even go in. But the point is he's going to get the shot. And it's 7-1 for a pretty junk, a normally pretty junky prop. That actually has some value.
And I think my favorite part about a prop like this is, you know, we talk about all these long-term strategies that could last for 2 weeks. But here, you know, possibly within a minute of a series. So you're not wasting your time if you watch the game and you have to do something else, and you can just focus on that and then maybe do something else and then come back and watch the end of the game.
We have a term that we like to use for when you bet first quarter NFL lines during the NFL season, which is brunch time winners.
Yes.
You know, before you crack your before you sip on that first mimosa, you know, you know where you're standing.
You have something, you know, to know about, and you're not waiting till 3 p.m. Central, I guess 4 p.m. East on the East Coast. But, yeah, something to know early. And this would be a perfect one just to know something before.
Just to get a wet-the-beak action if we've ever seen it. Because, exactly. I mean, a lot of these props right now are series props. And you're going to tie up a lot of your money for, you know, 500 weeks or as long as the finals
for
goes.
Sure.
So like that can be a little frustrating, and it's nice to find those individual game props if you can, because those go a really long way, and they're a lot of fun. Like those are it's a stupid bet, don't get me wrong,
right,
but it doesn't make it any less fun.
I wouldn't be betting, you know, amount of money that's as much as maybe you're betting on a game, but just something small to make it fun, yeah, just for entertainment purposes.
Another game one prop I wanted to look at, Draymond. Point total, over under 13.
Yeah.
That feels a little low.
Yeah, I think with the Warriors, just all the point totals are a little lower just because you have that extra star in Durant and Thompson and Curry. So it's kind of like you don't know exactly where the points are going to come from.
But here's the thing that sorry to interrupt, but like, the thing is, with Tyronn Lue, you actually kind of do know where the points are going to come from, because Tyronn Lue is like the king of, we're going to pick our poison, and we're going, even if what we have you doing, because like the Warriors, there's not a lot of good solutions, but at the very least, you're going to choose, Lue will want to choose the death that he has. Like, he will scheme to give the Warriors certain shots, and he'll scheme to deny them certain shots. And I think Draymond, who we know is a traditionally really streaky three-point shooter, he can be really hot, but he can go ice cold in a blink of an eye. I think that's one of the guys that's going to be one of the poison pills he takes. And if Draymond's getting four or five open threes in this game, 13 suddenly looks very low.
Yeah. And I think if there's any player on the Warriors who may be a little more motivated for this game, the revenge maybe hits him a little more, it is Draymond Green, just because he probably feels like he let the team down last year with his suspension in Game 5. So if there's someone that's super motivated and super focused and who likes to talk trash and has been talking trash about the Cavaliers even this postseason, he's going to want to back it up with a strong Game 1. So I kind of like that. I'll probably hop on that Draymond over 13 along with Love first to score. That's a prop that's definitely interesting. And then something with player props that you can kind of look at throughout the series is maybe betting over or under on a player. So maybe betting under on a player coming off a really hot game. And I think the perfect example of that this postseason was when Marcus Smart went 7-10 for 3 in Game 3 of the Cavaliers series. And he just, you know,
He was a disaster in Game 4.
Game 4, I think he made only one field goal. So betting like Marcus Smart under Game 4, I regret not looking closer at that, but that would have been a really strong prop bet.
A really easy one where the market overreacts. They think, oh, well, Isaiah's hurt, so he's going to get all these shots, and he's going to keep that up. Even if the line's set lower than what he scored in Game 3, like, it's still Marcus Smart.
Right.
And like, so like if you're going to get burned, that's taking the Tyronn Lue approach to gambling. Yeah. Like, if you're going to get burned by Marcus freaking Smart not hitting a ton of threes, then oh well.
Yeah.
and so, there's good value there. It's all about finding value. None of these bets are guaranteed winners. It's just, you know, or they wouldn't be posting them.
So, yeah, I would look at maybe if one of the secondary players, like an Iguodala, had just somehow had like 14 points or something, and you know, his player prop for points is definitely in the single digits, maybe going under the next game just because he'll regress, or maybe like something with J.R. Smith getting super hot from three. If you don't think he'll keep it up the next game, looking to go under there. So I think with their – I see this when it comes to player props. Like the Cavs have three stars with James, Irving, and Love, and the Warriors have their big four. So I think kind of looking at secondary players to see where you're going to find the most value.
Isn't it fair just to say with betting a series like this that's going to be – I mean, it's going to probably get more betting action than most series in the NBA because NFL definitely is the king of gambling for the most part. This is going to have a ton of scrutiny. The sports books are going to pay way closer attention to this than they will to anything else. Does it feel like the real does it feel like the real strategy comes down to finding where the market overreacts as opposed to the actual books? Like figuring out where people, the Joe Publics in the world that are flooding the market right now are going to be like, oh, Iggy went off for 17 and his over-under's only 11?
Yeah.
And then so you have to find value.
For sure.
In overreactions from them as opposed to, because the market's mostly going to set pretty good lines.
Yeah. And the great part of a series like this, you look at, when we're looking at sportsbook.ag, there was 104 different player and games props. So almost there's the side and the total, over-under and spread. But all those 104 things, it's like almost like a game within a game. They all pay out the same. They're not just because they're props doesn't mean it's like betting a side and a total. So there are so many ways that you can look at this.
And you can find better value in those spots sometimes because
definitely
those aren't going to be bet to death by everyone.
Yeah.
Like, sure, there'll probably be some sharps on them. But, like, you know, your day-to-day, you know, very sparse gambler, he's not looking down to find Richard Jefferson's point total.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jefferson has made the cut for that, but I know Thompson and Smith and Shumpert were part of the offerings for the player props.
One more prop I wanted to look at, and this was a huge surprise to me. It's most rebounds in the series. Kevin Love is the favorite at plus 150. Tristan Thompson, second at plus 250. Draymond at plus 400. LeBron at plus 400. Kevin Durant at plus 600. Curry at plus 5,000. Curry's not going to happen. Why is LeBron the fourth favorite? Does that seem like an enormous mistake to you?
And it's funny because I think the kind of the reputation is with Kevin Love, like maybe he's not a great rebounder. He's not like he's tough around the boards. That's kind of the public perception of him. So I was a little surprised to see him as the favorite in that situation, but I guess he plays more minutes than Thompson, so it does make sense. But
I'm not sure he's going to play more minutes than Thompson in the series. And I mean, Love has been an elite defensive rebounder. He's grabbing like 80% of defensive rebounds on the floor. Like, he's been amazing. Right. But the reality of the situation is there's going to be lineups the Warriors play that play Love off the floor.
Yeah,
I think, you know, optimistically, you'll hope Love can play 37, 38 minutes a game, and Tristan Thompson maybe even 41, 42. But LeBron led this series in rebounding last year because he plays 46 minutes a game.
Absolutely,
it's easy. Like this isn't an advanced metric stat or a prop. Yeah. It's not where like, oh well, Kevin Love's going to grab the highest percentage, so he's gonna, no. The guy who's out there the most is going to do a big part of this. LeBron's going to play a ton of minutes at the four in this series, so he's closer to the basket.
Yeah,
I think he led the last two finals in rebounding. I guess, I mean, if you're looking for reasons why that might be lower, you know, he'll probably spend some more time on Durant, who's hanging on the perimeter. But I just can't help. And Justin and I have talked about this on previous pods. I think they're going to give him breaks off of them because they want him playing free safety. They want him around that basket, rim protecting, you know, chase down blocking and all this stuff. And all that stuff puts him right near the boards. And even if Love and Thompson grab a higher percentage of rebounds while they're on the floor, I think the volume of LeBron there is too much to pass up.
Definitely, especially as a third favorite for this prop at plus 400. And We talked about how it's sometimes fun just to bet a little money to win a lot, and there's definitely an opportunity on a bet where, say, like LeBron was plus 200, you'd probably even maybe still bet it at that number. So if you're going to bet it at a lower a price, then plus 400 seems awfully tempting and something that I'll definitely look to before tip-off tomorrow.
If you're looking at most points, LeBron's minus 140, pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, as we said, he's 46 minutes is a very possible. And the way that the Warriors are going to distribute their points, most likely, where I'd be surprised if Durant outscored LeBron just because of Curry being there. Thompson
yeah, the only thing I can see happening, and I think it's probably a fair line for Durant at plus 320, but to me, there's value there. Because I think that Lou, this was his game plan on Christmas, to say, all right, we're mostly going to single cover Durant. We're going to let him kill us in ISOs. As long as we don't let the chaos engine go, we'll let Durant kill us. He'll be our poison pill that we take. And I think there's a real chance Durant puts up 35 points in four or five games this series. And they mostly focus on taking Curry out. So I think Durant at plus 320 is a decent value there.
Yeah, and that's probably, that's one of the reasons why it's a slight favorite, but he's the favorite to win the finals MVP now at plus 200, just ahead of LeBron and ahead of his teammate Curry.
Yeah, I imagine if Curry wasn't on this team and they were the same amount of favorite, he would probably be like an overwhelming favorite. They just are worried about splitting the vote.
Yeah, it's for sure.
So one last thing we can probably close out on this one is we can look at series futures, the exact number of games. We've talked about how Warriors in five is the pretty significant favorite at plus 240.
Yeah, I think it's just because they are going to be 7-point plus favorites in games one and two, so which is a minus right now a minus 290 money line. So they're favored to win the first two games, and then I'm sure the most likely outcome with games three and four is a split in Cleveland, just based on the betting market, just because the Cavs are only a slight favorite when they come back home. And that sets up for if the chalk hits, it's 3-1, and the Warriors in that closeout situation, you have to say that's kind of the dream spot for them after they squandered that golden chance last year before losing the last two games.
Question. So the Cavs are plus 200 in this series. It is almost statistically irrelevant, their chances of winning in four or five.
Yeah.
They're plus 1,800 and they're plus 4,000 for those. It's not happening. And first, it's worth noting that the top four odds for exact series results are all Warriors outcomes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Vegas really thinks the Warriors are going to win this series.
Definitely.
If you think the Cavs are going to win, does it make some sense, instead of betting the Cavs plus 200 just to win the series, to throw a little money on Cavs in six at plus 625 and a little money on Cavs in seven at plus 775?
I think I kind of want to stay away from those exact game props. I just feel like there's not as much value in the lines that they definitely take away some of the value that you'd be getting on a money line or a series price. If you do think the Cavs are going to win, and this is kind of going back to how to bet a series price, I think taking the Cavs to win game one at plus 240 would be the way to go. And if you like the Cavs for the series and think they're going to win game one, I would make that a bet. So instead of waiting the whole series to determine it, get a better number. You'll find out the game after. And if you're not sure, and maybe you like the Cavs, but not sure how game one is going to turn out just because the Warriors are in a great spot, like we said, then they adjust the series price. So you might be able to get the Cavs at plus 400 or more after game one, depending on how it goes. It'd probably be they're going to know that people have that strategy, so they might do like plus 350 or something. But if that's how I would approach it, if I like the Cavs for the series, so either bet game one or hold off, see if they lose game one, and then bet them after game one on the series.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I keep going back to the fact that I think they have to win game one or two if they're going to win the series, because I think they're going to split in Cleveland again.
Yeah.
So I think that...
So that's why if they do lose game one, before game two would be the time to jump on the Cavs.
Yeah.
If you really think that they are going to win the series, As for the Warriors, if you like the Warriors, betting them at minus 240 isn't the worst thing, because I think it's a pretty good number from what it was, or maybe it was minus 260 during the conference finals. But two ways to approach it is you can either take the Warriors on the series spread at minus 1.5. So basically saying Warriors are going to win in 4, 5, or 6, and that last night was minus 135. I checked it this morning. It's minus 140. Still like it. I think that if you think the Warriors are going to win, you probably think they're going to win in 5 or 6. You're probably not going to say.
Yeah, the longer the series goes, the more people are going to think the Cavs are going to win.
If you're confident in the Warriors winning the series, then you're probably not like worried about the game going seven or series going 7 games. So I think that is the way to look at the Warriors without laying minus 240. The other way would be a little more risky. Just root for the Warriors to lose game one.
And then pound the Warriors on the series.
Yeah, game one, because I think it'll be closer to an even. I think the Warriors will still be a slight favorite just because of the Warriors. But the Spurs were minus 240 against the Rockets before that series. And then after game one, the Rockets became the favorite. And they remained the favorite even after games two's loss because of the Tony Parker injury. And I think just because maybe the Spurs were a little overrated before that series on the series price, I still think the Warriors would be favorite even if they lost game one, but you're going to get a much better number, and I think that's definitely one way to approach how to bet the series from if you like the Cavs or if you like the Warriors.
Last prop we're going to look at, odds to get the first technical foul in the series. This is via sportsbettingdime.com. Draymond Green, the heavy favorite, a 2-1. Durant, who is a sneaky, pissy guy.
Okay.
Secondary at 4-1. Tristan at 5-1. Super weird. I don't really see that. Yeah. LeBron doesn't get technicals at 11-2. Throw his ass out. David West, I could imagine maybe doing one of the things where Tristan's been bothering him on the offensive glass, so he secures the defensive board and just swings the elbow.
Yeah, they team up for that.
They'll throw it to you. Matt Barnes, a huge, huge payout at 12-1. Now, I know he's not going to
play. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to play, but would you entirely rule out a technical
something
from the
on the bench? No, I wouldn't, but.
And if you do play this bet, check with your bookie, because I feel like the first technical of this series is going to be a double technical.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough foul, and then two guys get chest to chest, and the ref wusses out and gives them a double tech.
Yeah,
and
I don't know much about the technical foul betting market, but I'm not sure how a sports book would grade a double technical. So, yeah, definitely something to
check with your bookie. But I think that Lou at 50-1, very possible as well. 50-1 is a great payout.
I kind of like the coaches, and Brown is 75-1. I mean, it's tough to predict the players.
But, like, because the thing is, a coach is the only one who will get a tech as a strategy.
Right.
Like,
fire up the team.
Get the refs, like, realize, you know, put pressure on the refs. Like, they're the only ones who will get a tech as a strategy. And, like, these guys aren't high technical foul guys. For the most part, they're pretty amiable. For the most part, Lou mostly sits down. He's not super demonstrative. But at 50-1, 75-1, not too bad to sprinkle a little money on. But I think if I am betting, I'm putting it on David West, throwing an elbow.
David West. I kind of like that, like, West, Barnes, McGee, JaVale McGee range. I might.
McGee's at 12-1. Does McGee get technicals, or is he just dumb? I think that's just being stereotypical. That's just, like, lazy.
Yeah.
McGee put him on
just
there.
People know.
They just know his name.
And Pachulia, 18-1, probably just there because of his antics last series and how he's perceived by
what was
the media after that.
Wasn't Woj the one that, like, was tweeting about... Oh, no, that was Kelly Olynyk, sorry. When Woj was clearly doing a favor for Olynyk's agent.
Yeah.
When he was like, Kelly Olynyk's career, 3 technicals, 1 flagrant.
Yeah. Then
doing some service
the
to...
The comparison of Green and talking about who's actually the dirty player.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this series is going to get heated, especially if... I think that it behooves the Cavs to ugly this series up as much as possible.
Definitely.
And I think they do have a little bit of a mental edge on them. I mean, LeBron even got that tack on Green on the Martin Luther King game when he kind of tackled him in midcourt, and LeBron sold the hell out of it. So I think if you're going to bet anyone, you want to bet someone on the Warriors. They just get more technicals than the Cavs. And the most demonstrative player on the Cavs is LeBron. and they never tee up LeBron. No,
and I don't think they will in the finals unless there's a game that's he's just a blowout or out of control. But I think he would be the one, the calming presence, where maybe another player kind of overreacts.
Yeah, I mean, he can get away with a lot more because he's LeBron and has for a long time with that. So, like, so I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for coming on, Nate.
Yeah,
thank you so much for ruining my my life.
I do
By turning me into a degenerate. But, as you like to say, you're only a degenerate if you lose. Where can we find you on Twitter?
Nate Jacobson 1. Find me on Twitter. I'll tweet out some things that I like before game one and throughout the series and kind of follow the betting markets and share any interesting information.
Yeah, Nate is one of my favorite resources. I rarely place a bet without running it by him first. He has won the World Series of Handicapping. Is that correct?
It was a football contest in 2014 on the NFL. NFL is what I like to do in my specialty, but I especially like the NBA, looking at the betting market, because you can learn a lot during the regular season, and then especially this time of year is really fun to get involved in the playoffs and a competitive series like the NBA Finals.
So, as you like to say, you're not a pro, but you're the sharpest square I know.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Is to be the sharpest square in America. Square.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much for coming on, Nate.
Thank you very much. And good luck in this series. It's going to be a war.
Oh, yeah. So go Cavs, and finals tip tomorrow.